Thank you for listening to the Rochester Christian Church podcast. For more information, visit us online at rcc4me.com.
God bless you folks this morning. I want you to take your Bibles if you would. We have been going on a journey on prayer for the past couple of weeks, and the word has been awesome that's been coming forth about prayer and different things. Nate Mariocchi did such an awesome job last week in bringing that about, and it was great. He did an awesome job, and this morning it's my turn to deal with the subject of prayer, and I chose this morning for my title simply Directions of Prayer. Okay, directions of prayer. Pastor Richard, before he left, he said, "So what are you going to preach on?" I said, "Well, Pastor, it's on prayer. Remember, we're doing the prayer series." He goes, "Yeah, but what's your subject going to be?" And I said, "Directions of prayer." And he gave me one of those pastoral, kind of looks. And I said, "Yeah, the directions of prayer." He said, "How many directions of prayer is there?" I said, "Well, if you read in 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says there's actually two directions, that when we pray, that we can be directed not only to the throne of God, but that we can be directed in our hearts and our minds and things." So we're going to talk about that this morning. And to start off with, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 5 this morning. Okay, how many got your Bibles or got your digital devices? You got your Bible and you're there where you need to be, okay? Awesome. Let's get into the word this morning. And the word tells us, it says, as for other matters, this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church. He said, "Brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded." Now check out verse 5 here. It says, "And may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." I read this week, and it kind of hit me. I'm going, okay, what's he talking about? That it wants to direct our hearts into God's love and to Christ's perseverance. And that's when it hits me. These are the two directions of prayer. This is what they were talking about. You see, the power of prayer is not in the answers that we get. Okay, there we go. But in where it directs our hearts. The power of prayer is not in the answers. Can I tell you this morning, the object and the subject of prayer isn't to get God to do things. Okay? It's not to get God to do things. I can tell you this, no matter how much or how long or how hard or how many Kleenexes you go through when you pray, that's not going to move the heart of God. God is not wanting you to move his heart. He knows what his heart is toward us. He's wanting to move your heart closer to him. So it's into this love and Christ's perseverance. And this morning, as we enter those areas, when we enter into the place of God's love, it is no longer about the answer. It's about his presence. We pray and we ask God, that was good. Two amens. I'll take that. Thank you very much. Can you hear me this morning? It's not about getting an answer to prayer. When you're praying for a loved one, when you're praying for somebody that's ill, when you're praying for somebody that may be on their deathbed, and we're praying, it's not about getting God to answer that prayer. It's about us coming in and him opening up his arms and saying, "Child, come, let me wrap my arms around you. I want to bring you into my presence so that I can strengthen you and encourage you and let you know everything's going to be all right." How many of you have got littles? You got kids. Okay, I'm not counting the bigger kids, I'm counting littles, right? And have you ever had one of those littles, they in the middle of the night they have a nightmare? You ever have a nightmare and they wake up crying and screaming and all kinds of stuff? And the reality is this: mom and dad can walk into the room, they can flip on the light, they can do anything they want to do, but you know what's going to calm that child down? It's when mom or dad sit down on the side of that bed and wrap their arms around that child and they feel that embrace and they know everything's going to be okay because they're in the presence of mom and dad. Does that make sense this morning? Can I tell you this morning, that is what this thing of prayer is all about. It's about getting to the place where we let God's presence invade us and it's getting into that presence. The disciples in Luke chapter 11, they came and they asked Jesus to teach them to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples. I am not on the same page here. Hang on. Okay, that's not it. Let's go backwards. There we go. No, I must have missed that one. That's okay. Never mind. When you preach once every couple of months, this technology stuff messes with you. That's why I got my notes. Thank you. The disciples in Luke chapter 11, they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus to teach them to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples, right? Master, teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples. And it's interesting that Jesus says this. When you pray, say this. And I'm so thankful for our good friend Shane Willard, who's going to be here next month. I'm looking so forward to that. He's my buddy, and he brings the word alive like unbelievably. The one time when he was here, he talked about this, and it blew my mind on the subject of prayer and even the Lord's Prayer. And this is what he says. When you pray, say this. Abba, Daddy, okay? Abba, Daddy. It also has the idea of breath in it. It has the idea of wind. Abba, the one who is the very breath that I breathe. And as close as the mention of your name, I choose to become aware of you. The word Abba is not just a Hebrew word for daddy. What it literally means, it has the idea of breath. Even when you say it, Abba. Abba, it's the idea of breathing. It's the idea that he is the very breath that we breathe. It is the idea that he is our reason for living. It is the idea that whatever we're going through, he is always there and we can always count on him. Abba, the only one. The only one who is the very breath that I breathe and is as close as the mention of your name. I choose to become aware of you. That's a heavy phrase right there, to become aware of something. So I was studying this, I began to think about that, and I'm going, wow. Long before my dad ever showed up in the house, I knew he was in the driveway. And dad wasn't home just because he physically came into the house. Dad was home the minute I became aware of his presence. See, my dad, he had this 1967 Pontiac Le Mans. And my dad was a big fan of glass pack mufflers. Those of you car people, you know what I'm talking about, you know? That throaty, whoa, 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 whoa. And you could hear, the minute he turned the corner coming into the neighborhood, I could hear my dad's car all that way around. Now, my reaction to the sound of that car depended on how good I had been that day. If I had had a bad day, because my mom was one of these ones, she didn't have a problem taking it to my backside when I needed it, but you knew you were in deep trouble when she said, and just wait till your dad gets home. Can I get an amen on that one? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And all your daddy's little princesses, you don't know what that's like, okay? But I didn't have to see his physical presence. I didn't have to see him walk through the door. All I had to do was hear the sound of that car because it was very distinctive. And I knew that dad was there. I was aware of his presence at that time. Can I tell you today, we don't need Jesus to walk through the door. We have the sound of a worship team in a house singing the praises of God and letting that come forth. And we know that God is in the house. We can sense his presence. We can sense his breath. That's what this thing of directions of prayer, God wants to direct us into his love. So that when we pray, it's not about God, will you do this and will you do that? And yes, we say that. Make your requests known unto God. We do that. But the reality is that what happens if maybe the way we want it to work out isn't the way God sees it working out? Do you get mad with God? Do you get mad at him? Or do you say, Father, I trust you. I don't understand. I don't understand. But God, I'm going to trust you. Because what's more important to me isn't an answered prayer. What's more important to me is the presence of my daddy. You see, it's becoming aware of what the Lord is doing. And we choose to become aware of that. Not only did I was aware of my dad when we were driving this car that he was coming in, but I was a band geek, okay? Those of you, all of the band geeks in the house, raise your hand. If you were in band when you were in school, oh, come on, the rest of you, there were more than that. Y'all are just afraid to admit it. That's what the deal is. I wasn't no band geek, not me. No, I wasn't wearing those funky uniforms. You know what I hated worse than all? They had the big hat. They had that stupid plume on the top of the hat. Those of you in band that had to wear a plumed hat, give me an amen this morning. Come on. Had to wear the dumb hat. But one thing that I always did when we were in band, of course, you had concerts, you had football games. I can't tell you the number of Friday nights my mom and dad sat out and froze their backsides off for football season just so they could watch their son come out in the band thing and do the little band thing and then get off the field. They would sit through the first half and freeze, and then they would sit and wait for me to come back after I got rid of the dumb hat, and we came back up into the stands and we'd be able to get along with them and be able to sit there with them. You know what? It's interesting to me that when I was in band and I was on the field, I didn't care about anything else. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't care about what the drum major was doing. And if you thought my hat was funky, look at the drum major's hats, man. Them big, tall, cute, they look like Q-tips coming down the field. But what mattered more to me wasn't what the girl I was sweet on was doing down at the end of the flute line or whatever the case may be. Wasn't none of that. It was the fact that I could always know that on Friday nights, come rain or shine or cold or snow blowing or wind or whatever the case may be, I could look up in a particular area, up a particular aisle of those stands, and I could even tell you exactly how many rows to go up, and there would be my mom and dad. I became aware of them. And you know what? It made a difference to me. If you've been a kid or if you've got a kid and they're doing something, trust me, you showing up matters. That's extra. That wasn't in my notes. That's something for them. That means a lot to them. Trust me. Don't ever think, well, it's just a dumb concert. Oh, it's just a, whatever the case may be. No, you need to be there so that they can look up and they can see you right there because they have just become aware of them. And no matter how of a great, good of a job or bad of a job they might do, their shoulders will come back a little further and their head will be up a little bit higher because mom and dad took the time to show up. And can I tell you this morning, that is what Abba does. He shows up. He shows up. I choose to be aware of you. I've shared this once before, but I remember the day when I was married, and I was playing church league softball and was out on the field playing second base. And, you know, we were having fun, a bunch of guys having fun. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and here walking from the car to the ball field was my dad. He had worked all day. But he came home, and I was married. I was a grown man. And here he comes walking through the thing, walking through all the dirt and all the stuff, and finds himself a place in the stands to sit down to watch his adult son play softball. And you know what? it made a huge difference to me when I looked up and I became aware of the presence of my dad. I probably played better than I ever did that day because he showed up. Can I say this to you today? It's amazing how it changes everything when all of a sudden you view Jesus. You're not somebody just that far away. You're not sitting on a throne way off out there in eternity. But each and every day, you show up in my life, and I just want to become aware of you. See, that's what prayer is all about. You hear me this morning? It's about you. It's not about, God knows you. He knows what you have need of before you even ask, right? It's not about him. It's about you needing to know that he's right there. You see, and that's directing us into his love. That's what Paul talked about to the Thessalonians. My prayer isn't that God would give you everything that you want or that he would take away all your issues and take away all your problems. My prayer for you is that you would become aware of the Father showing up and that you would become aware of his love. Because you know what? You can take a lot of stuff away from me. You can take things away and things can go wrong and things can fall apart and all those kinds of things. But you know what? There's one thing that there ain't nobody in heaven and earth that can ever take away from me. And that's the love of my Father. That is the love of Abba, the one who's as close as the mention of his name. We need to choose to become aware. We need to choose to become aware of his presence. Amen. How many of you got up this morning and it wasn't just, oh, we get to go to church today, or for some it may be, oh, man, we got to go to church again today. Got to get the kids ready, got to get them fed, all that kind of stuff. It's funny, we out at the doors, it's amazing. You'll see people coming in, their kids are, they're eating breakfast on the way in, you know, and everything, coming in. Getting here to church. God bless you guys for you. Can I just say this? This is off the record, okay? Can I say this? Parents, don't you ever, ever think that it's not important for you to have your kids in the house of the Lord. I don't care if they bawl and squall. I don't care if they cause the teachers all kinds of hassle. Pastor Scott, you didn't hear that. I don't care about all of that. Those kids need to be in the house of the Lord. They need it. Because I'm telling you right now, when they're this big, they don't get it. They just know they get to eat graham crackers and goldfish all over the carpet. But I'm going to tell you, Cheetos. Okay, there you go, Cheetos. We got a Cheetos in the house. There we go, right there. But the reality is, the more they are in the atmosphere, the more it impacts their life. I know that for a fact. I was raised in church. Every Sunday, every time the door was open, we were at church. Didn't matter. We were in church. And I can remember as a teenager, man, I hated that like nobody's business, having to be in church. But I remember the day that I had stayed out too late one night on a Saturday night, and I come walking through the door. And my dad met me at the door as him and my mom were getting ready to go out and get in the car and go to church. My dad looked at me and said, "Late night, huh?" Yeah. I didn't even want to lift my eye. You know, I was like, the eyes of dad. He looked at me. He said, "Well," he said, "I will see you in church this morning." I was 19 years old. I was a man. At least I thought I was a man. Until my 5'9" dad looked me square in the eyeballs and said, "I will see you in church this morning." And I knew if I wasn't in church that morning, you could cancel Christmas, man. My life was done. But my dad loved me. Don't ever negate that. I don't even know why I went down that bunny trail, but it was a good bunny anyway. The directions of prayer. God is always wanting to bring us into that place of his love. That place of his compassion, that place of him just wrapping his arm. Have you ever been in a time in your life when you were so down and you could feel it? You were praying and you didn't even know how to pray or what to pray. And all of a sudden it was like these big giant arms just enveloped you and you just felt warm. That was the love of the Father. That was the love of God directing you into his love, directing you into that stuff, getting you to that point. In Romans chapter 8, it's interesting. There is this word phraseology there that says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for. How many, every time you pray, you know exactly what you need to pray for? Now, let me rephrase the question. How many of you think you know what you need to pray for? But the reality is, the Bible says that when we can't even speak a word, that the Bible tells us that literally he comes along beside us. He is that one, Abba, the one who is the very breath that we breathe. He's as close as the mention of his name, and he chooses to become aware of us so that we can be aware of him. You know, and sometimes, have you ever been at a point where you don't know what to pray? You're a parent and you've got a child. You've done your best to raise them right. And they're not serving the Lord. You know they're doing stuff they have no business being involved in that's going to end up leading to destruction if they keep going down that path. Worse yet, multiply that a few times over when it's a grandchild. And you can't really have the freedom to say anything because that's, you're not mom and dad, you're grandpa and grandma. And you have to just kind of go and bite your tongue because you can't say anything. In those moments when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what to say, the word tells us, but the Spirit, this is in verse 26, continuing, but the Spirit himself helps us and intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes. Literally, that word means helps us for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Aren't you glad that you serve a Father that all you have to do is groan a little bit and he says, I got you. I got your back on this one. There are things that we go through, things that happen to us, things we don't. When you have a loved one that's ill, I know what that's like to have a father laying literally laying on a bed and you so badly know that he's not going to get well and you want him to go ahead and go home and be with Jesus. But on the other hand, you want him so desperately to wake up and be your dad again. You don't know how to pray, but it's in those moments that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit begins to pray through us, through utterances and groans that we don't have a clue of what that is. And it says, in verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes. He helps us for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that verse. Probably have quoted it numbers of times in various situations. It wasn't until this week I was doing a little bit of studying. And the phrasing of that, if we don't know what we ought to pray or ask for, literally is echoed in the story of when Jesus comes to the home of Mary and Martha. We know the story. Jesus shows up, the disciples are there, and Martha, you know, Mary's being Mary. She's laying at the feet of Jesus going, doing the thing. Oh, that's so good, Lord. And here's Martha. She's worried if the mashed potatoes are going to be okay. She's worried if the ham's going to get cooked right. She's worrying about the green beans burn, and she certainly hopes she didn't burn the biscuits because nobody wants to eat a stinking burnt biscuit. Can I say her an amen? And she goes and she says, Master, I'm here doing everything. And my sister's not even helping me. Would you say something to her? And Jesus looks at her and says, Martha, you're worried about way too much. You need to take a chill pill. That's the PK translation. The phrasing is, that's the only other place in Scripture where that phrasing that I talked about, we don't know what we ought to pray for. And it's used when Martha was overworked and she said to Mary, do your part. I'm not asking you to do it all. I'm just asking you to do your part. That is the same idea of what we just read about in Romans chapter 8. It says, when we don't know how to pray for what we should, the Holy Spirit comes and with utterances and groans that we don't understand, he literally is calling out and saying, do your part. He says, take it easy. I've got this. I'll take care of it. I'm going to do my part. You take care of yours, which is what? Seeking him, and let me take care of the rest. You see, that's what prayer is all about. It's about us doing our part. And guess what? God, he isn't just starting, is it? Oh, man, I missed that one. I'm running a little late here. No, he was already working on his part before the foundations of the world because he saw you. He saw your days. He saw your nights. He saw your marriage. He saw your kids. He saw your grandkids. He saw all of it. And he was already making a plan to make sure that everything was going to work out for your good and for his glory. And he just calls us to partner with him. He says, I got this. I've got this. I never will forget my youth pastor that I grew up under, that I got saved under. I'm standing here today because of that man. He went home to be with Jesus a couple of years ago during the COVID crisis. And his wife, she had this favorite saying. It's one of those sayings, I mean, she said it so much you got sick of hearing it, because you knew whenever somebody was having a struggle, somebody was hurting, somebody was doing whatever, she would always come out with, well, God's got this. And after a while, you say, man, I know God's got this. But you know what? But as you get on in life, the greatest thing you can know, you don't need to know how it's going to turn out. All you need to know down deep in your heart is that God's got this. I don't have to worry about, I know my son and daughter-in-law and part of my grandkids are part of this church here. I don't worry about them. They're good kids. They're good kids. I'm so thankful my grandkids have good parents. I don't worry about that. But there's times where you just worry as a grandparent. You just worry as a parent. And you know what? And it's so awesome to know that no matter where I am at and what I am going through, I can enter into that place of intercession. I can enter into that place where God says, son, I got this, and know that he means it. There are times, if the band would come on out, there are times in our lives we don't have the answers. Have you ever gone through a season where you wanted the answer? You prayed, you cried, you fasted, you sought the heart of God, the mind of God, and you never got your answer. God, where are you? You ever ask that? God, when are you going to show up? God, you know my heart's cry. Lord, you know where I'm at with my kids, with work, with all the different things that are going on in life. God, my situation that I'm in right now. Lord, I need you to show up. But sometimes we go through things, and the reality is we just don't know. We just don't know. And you know what? That's okay. I am convinced there's some things that if God really did let us know, we'd freak out so bad, we'd lose it. It's okay just not to know. In fact, my wife, give credit where credit's due, she saw this prayer on Facebook. And when she told me about it, I said, I want a copy of that for my message. This is how it goes. Did you know there's a prayer called, I don't know? In fact, it's known as the I don't know prayer. It's very spiritual. You just go off somewhere quiet and hidden, and you walk right up to the heart of God and you say, Daddy, I don't know. Daddy, I just don't know. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what is happening or why this is happening. I don't know how to process this. I don't know what to do with these emotions. I don't know how to handle this situation because it covers a lot of I don't knows. And then with whatever dusty little sand grain of faith you have left, you say, Daddy, I don't know, but you do. And you leave it there because God most certainly hears that prayer. I was praying early this morning about how I was to end this service. Don't freak out. Yeah, I know it's not even 11:15 yet. You'll get over it. But I can guarantee you, in a room this size with the number of people that we have here, there are people in this place, you are going through junk, and you have prayed and you have fasted, you have done all kinds of things, and nothing has seemed to change. In fact, for some of you, it seems to have gotten worse, and you've been saying, I just don't know. Why isn't this happening the way I think it should? Why isn't there healing? Why isn't there direction? Why isn't there financial blessing? Why? I just don't No. And you know what I'm thankful for? We serve a God because He's not just about us praying to Him. He is about directing us into His love. He can take all of the I don't knows we want to put upon Him, and He can reach down His hand and He can touch that place. He can touch that thing. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's all going to be all better. Sometimes we don't need all better. We just need it to be all right in that moment. Because sometimes all better, what it looks like in our mind, doesn't always look like the same thing in reality. And this morning, the band, I asked them to lead us in a song. It's called Waymaker. That even when we don't see it, He's moving. Even when we don't hear it, He's moving. He never stops. He never stops moving. You know why? Because He's our Abba. And in those moments when we don't know what else to think or where else to go or how else can we make this work, it's in those moments where He shows up and He whispers in our heart, I got this.
Thank you for listening to the Rochester Christian Church podcast. For service times and giving options, visit us online at rcc4me.com.